It's good to have a good Air Force officer at your side, I tell you. It
keeps you flying.
That sounds like something Jim Steele would say. Well, yes, thank you so much for coming. This is so special. Many thanks to APHA, Drs. Glasser, Doker, John Herbal, Donna Wright, Russ Currier, Hugh Mainzer, and Ted Brown, and just everybody who has had a part of putting this special program together. I met Jim Steele through Dr. Conrad Ukester, who I ended up working for about 25 years, but in 1981, Dr. Steele was coming to Texas A&M to give a lecture, and Dr. Ukester introduced me to him because Dr. Ukester had heard me talking a little bit about epidemiology. I was kind of just out of practice and trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life, how I was going to go up, as Jim said. And we went over on campus at the biggest gall-dang auditorium Texas A&M had at the time, and the place was packed, you know. And so, that kind of launched my interest in epidemiology, and several years later, Jim actually served on my PhD committee. And over the years, we became great friends and colleagues, so that's kind of where the story all starts. So anyway, let's talk about this great man's brain, okay? I think that's a good place to start. I think it was as Jay said something about the clarity of the mind of this gentleman. This is at 99 years old, Jim decided he wanted a CAT scan of his brain. Okay? Now, he knew everybody at MD Anderson Hospital. I mean, DeBakey, he ate lunch with them all. And so I guess he just got on the phone one day and said, "Hi, doctor, tomorrow I need a CAT scan of my brain," you know, and for sure he was going to do it. So he did it. He looked at about 146 brain images, tomographic sections of his brain. And he brought all his neurological residents into the room and said, "Okay, I want you to estimate the age of this patient. What do you suppose the average or the target was?"
50.
And I think that it correlates very highly with the clarity of mind and the wonderful memory that Jim had all the way to the end. And if I had Jim's brain, I wouldn't need any of these notes to remember the dates. Because one thing he could remember is dates, you know. He's the kind of guy that'd say, "Well, in 1946, I was in Atlanta, and we had this meeting. I believe it was April 16th, and it was a cool day," and it was, you know. He would do that all the time. So anyway, but the other thing is you know, anybody that was close to Jim, he would send you stuff all the time, okay? He'd send you articles, papers, new cutting-edge science and all this. And he would usually put a cute little note or sticky note or something on the top of it, wouldn't he? And so this is what, after he got his readout from Dr. Tamala, he says, "Craig," and that was with the CAT scan, he sent me the CD and everything. He says, "Craig, brain is normal, neck stiff, nothing else, carry on." 99 years old. Well, you know, to fully cover Dr. Steele's life and the significance of all his career accomplishments would probably take one, maybe two full semester graduate courses. And I know that Russ and Hugh are going to cover some more of Jim's great life. So I am going to try to focus on just sort of the last years of his life. Now, the first biography came out in 2009, so a lot of things really happened through that time. And if you want to read the rest of the story, the book is available, okay? And the second one will be available very soon. We'll talk about that. I know Russ is going to talk about this, but I just couldn't resist putting it. You know, we both have like boxes and boxes of archives. You know, after 30-some years of receiving papers from Jim and then doing your own research, you end up with a closet full of this stuff. And I was looking through my archives, and I had an original signed copy of Jim's historic book, Self, on Veterinary Public Health, which was, it was published in April 73 edition of the American Journal of Public Health. So I know Russ is going to allude to this, but I couldn't resist putting this up. So in August 1991, my wife and I attended the World Veterinary Congress when with Jim and Brigitte in Rio. And about, at that point in time, I had known Jim for about 10 years, and I was beginning to really grasp what this guy was all about, the super contributions that he has made, that his travels and impact, you know, on public health. And I remember one morning we were sitting out on this beautiful, breezy veranda overlooking the South Atlantic in the Continental Hotel, Intercontinental. And we were just talking, and I stopped and I said, Jim, I said, have you ever thought about writing an autobiography or maybe getting somebody to do a biography of your amazing life? And he just basically says, well, yeah, that'd be pretty good, but, you know, I still got a lot of projects that I want to get done, and, you know, I'm just too busy. Well, he was 78 years old at the time he made that statement. So in that morning, I kind of made my own little mental commitment that, dang it, I'm gonna try, like, and so many of y'all have around him have captured parts of his career, and I just somehow wanted to do something from the beginning, you know, to just about the end. And I knew I'd never written a biography. I'd never written even anything near close to it. I knew I was the most horribly qualified person to even think about doing this. But I thought, I can at least do the interviews. I can interview people, and I can write stuff down. And I'm going to just do that. So over the next 15 years, I interviewed him over 200 times, mostly in his home in Houston, some in our home in College Station, some in hotel rooms, some in bars, some in rolling down the road with my wife driving on our way to Denver or wherever we were going. And we finally ended. But at that point, no one yet had come forward that said they were going to write this biography. A couple of them said they would for a lot of this stuff. And Jim went, no, we're not going to do that. So anyway, the first edition of this came out, The One Man, One Medicine, One Health, James H. Steele Story, in 2009. And we had a great time at many meetings, mostly AVMA. I think the first one was in Seattle in 2009 at the ACVPM booth. The ACVPM, the American College of Veterinary Preventive Medicine, is the outgrowth of the American Board of Veterinary Public Health, which Jim founded in 1950. And they just basically at one point decided to change the name. Jim was fine with it. He totally understood. And so here we are at the booth and with a lot of his friends and signing books and just meeting and greeting. I mean, it is just one of the most heartwarming days of your life to watch him and all these people greeting him and him signing these books. So what does this look like? Well, to me, it looks like an older guy, but he looks like he's in his office. He's got his version of an Outlook calendar on the wall up there. He's talking like, you know, somebody saying, well, do we launch this nuclear missile or not? You know, I mean, he's making big decisions. Well, this is Jim in his assisted care facility in Houston. He was probably 99 at that point. And, you know, he was a quintessential networker. And he always cherished opportunities to learn anything from anyone. You know, he spent most of his career, you know, communicating with surgeon generals, White House staff members, senior federal officials, and international dignitaries. But what he loved to meet most was a young scientist or a student. You caught that right off, because he could be talking to anybody, I don't care who it was, the chief veterinary officer of the United States, and if a student walked by and just said howdy to him, he would totally ignore the chief veterinary officer and go to his, all right, I'm Jim Steele. and what are you doing? And he wanted to know about him. That's just the kind of guy he was. And so, you know, those of us who would go visit him in his later years, and we would be having this close, thoughtful conversation with him. When that phone rang, and it would ring, right, at least half a dozen times in an hour, it didn't matter what you were talking about, Jim would grab that phone and just, howdy, it's Jim Steele. What can I do for you today? And so, you know, in his 90s, he began to have recurrent bouts of pneumonia that were related to food inhalation. Okay, he was losing the laryngeal complex, and he would inhale food, and he'd have to, You then go get treated, go back in the hospital, get on a lot of IV antibiotics, and get him straightened out. But finally, his doctors recommended a permanent stomach tube for him. So they got that done July 2012, I believe it was. And I guess maybe 6-9 months passed, and before I got to get down to Houston to see Jim, and my first question was, I was just thinking, my gosh, you know, what can life be like, you know, for Jim Steele not being able to eat? He loved to eat, drink down a good old dry martini or a good old glass of wine. And so I asked him, I says, Jim, what's it like now with his stomach tube? I said, oh, Craig, you know, it's great. He says, I don't have to waste all this time eating and drinking. He says, I got more time to talk to my friends and be on the phone. So there you go. You know, Jim Steele, the glass was always half full, and he found sunshine in every situation. Well, can I kind of talk about things leading up to his 100th birthday here? Really, his celebration sort of began in late 2011. That was when a lot of us got together and nominated Jim for OIE Medal of Merit. And for those of you who don't know what the OIE is, it's the analog of the World Health Organization. That's the World Organization for Animal Health, and it's in Paris. OIE is the French Office of the International Zoonotique. So it was quickly approved by the OIE Awards Committee, and his granddaughter, Jamie Steele, from Sanjay, then traveled to Paris, and that's his granddaughter. And she graciously accepted the award on Jim's behalf. And Jim was watching the whole thing on Skype from Bosswood Nursing Home in Houston. Chief Veterinary Officer John Clifford was on stage. It was just quite the evening. And then, of course, toward the end, Jim had prepared a video presentation to the delegation, which was represented by some 175 countries, I believe, that year. And Jamie said that after the ceremony, that it took her about 2 hours to greet all the delegates that wanted to come to her and say something about what Jim Steele did for their country. And he did help to establish veterinary public health programs in over 60 countries in the world, so that's quite a big deal. So about every year for the last 21 years, there's been a lecture at University of Texas School of Public Health to celebrate Dr. Steele's birthday. And it's generally not exactly on his birthday. A few times it's been right on his birthday, but usually one day, one way or the other. And folks come just from all over the world. Well, and this year, for his 100th birthday celebration, Dr. Lonnie King, who is dean of the Ohio State College of Veterinary Medicine, delivered the lecture, thought-provoking lecture, called Seeing Around Corners, A Century of One Health. So here's Dr. King up at the lectern there at University of Texas, and then here's Dr. Steele Brigitte, his wife, and then, of course, just listening very carefully, and then at the end, of course, everybody, the throngs all come down to wish Dr. Steele a happy birthday, 100th, and then a nice get-together after that. On the very next night, he had to give Dr. Steele a little rest, and this was actually his birthday, his 100th birthday. A beautiful party was arranged in the Treviso restaurant in downtown Houston, and here's, of course, Jim and Brigitte enjoying the evening, and former Assistant Surgeon General Bill Stokes arranged, I believe it was, I don't know if he was the only one. I think he kind of did it himself, didn't he? For a 100th birthday commemorative public health service coin for the Assistant Surgeon General, which Dr. Steele was the very first. And, of course, that whole party was arranged for by Miss Donna Vaughn. She was what Dr. Steele named her, his last chief of staff. Yeah. And she took care of everything for Jim about the last 3 years of his life. And she organize a party. I'll get to guarantee this was the most beautiful event. So the next big event in Jim's 100th birthday was the, interestingly, the 150th anniversary of the American Veterinary Medical Association in Chicago, Jim's hometown, okay? And it's Jim's, Jim's 100th birthday, so these are all interesting coincidences. But unfortunately, we had hoped that Dr. Steele was going to be able to attend and Brigitte, but Jim just could not travel. After the ceremony in Houston in April, he realized, I can't do this, I can't travel. And I think we were all relieved when he made that decision. But during the opening ceremony, he was recognized for his career contributions spanning over almost eight decades, and also, once again, addressed the crowd in a video that he had specially done for that event, and that we'll see that in just a couple minutes. The next day, Donna Vaughn and I went to Dr. Steele's home on Berenice Street in Chicago, North Side, there, not too far from Lakeshore Drive. And his nephew, Jack, still lives in the house, and that was by his brother, John. And we had quite a fun time. And we also went out to the cemetery and saw Dr. Steele's, where his parents were buried, and some of the other family members. Now, also at AVMA, the American Veterinary Epidemiology Society, which Jim also started in 1964 to honor K.F. Meyer, which was one of his great mentors. And that year, Dr. William McCulloch, also a great colleague and friend of Dr. Steele, got the Meyer Steele Gold-Headed Cane Award. And that's Charlie Thone as the current president of AVES, and then Saul Wilson, a past president. So on that same day, right after the AVS meeting, a seminar series was put on called the James A. Steele Challenge, A Better World Through One Health. And you probably can't read those names, but if you could, you could see that they are like a who's who of veterinary medicine. And we hope that we can turn that into an annual event. Dr. Karen Becker, who is now the chief of applied epidemiology for FSIS, organized that and chaired the session. So the party just keeps rocking on, and so soon Jim received notification that he was going to receive the John Gamgee Award for Outstanding Contributions in Veterinary Science and the Veterinary Profession, and that would be presented in September 2013. This Professor Gamgee, who the award is named after, had organized a meeting in Hamburg, Germany, in April of 1963 to discuss systems of combating animal diseases. And Dr. Gamgee's efforts planted the seeds for the World Veterinary Association. 1963, yeah, John Gamgee, 1863. So on the 100th anniversary of the World Veterinary Association in 1963, they created the Gamgee Award. At the time that Dr. Steele got the award, and this is his son David that went to Prague to accept the award on Jim's behalf. Only three veterinarians in the world had ever received this honor, so it was quite an honor. And so here's Jim back in Houston after David brought the award back to him, showing off his Gamgee Award. So some sort of for the future, we're just about done. He founded the AVS in 1964, but one thing he didn't do was incorporate it. So we got that done last year. It's a nonprofit, 501c, and can accept tax-deductible donations, and we hope that that's going to help sustain the activities of the organization. We're talking about, again, having that seminar series every year and also sponsoring student awards, students with interest in veterinary epidemiology or epidemiology in general. So, Dr. Steele, this came out in 2014, Wiley Blackwell Press, Zoonotic Tuberculosis, by Charles Stone, Jim Steele, and I can't remember the other author, John Kinneen. So it really demonstrates that Dr. Steele's commitment to furthering science, all the way to the end. So we are trying to finish up the second and final edition of the Steele biography. It will include his 5 last years of his life. And this was actually a picture taken by the Houston Chronicle the day before his 100th birthday. We thought it was a great, he's sort of like waving, you know, goodbye, carry on, which was his message. And we hope that this will be out early in 2015. It's going to come along with about five or six new chapters, some great photography, the full text of Lonnie King's speech that he gave on Dr. Steele's 100th birthday at University of Texas. And so all the proceeds are going to go to the American Veterinary Epidemiology Society. So Jim died on November 10th, 2013.